Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning, friends, and welcome again to Apex Online. And thank you for the opportunity to be able to come and to share with you today as we continue our series on walking with Jesus. I wonder what kind of week you've had. I wonder what kind of day you've had so far. Whatever that is, I just want you to take these next few moments and just put the thoughts of the week aside and let's just take the time to focus on this thing called walking with Jesus. You know, I don't know when you hear those words, when you hear that phrase, walking with Jesus, what thoughts come into your mind, what images come into your imagination at that time. You know, I've enjoyed so much over the past few weeks hearing what our pastors have shared with us and just share just wee nibbles and little nuggets of just something of that walk with Jesus. You know, for me, when I hear that phrase, I can't help but think about the disciples. The disciples, the very ones who Jesus called to walk with him right at the start of his ministry, which lasted for 3 years. And you know, these disciples, Jesus called them from where they were. He called them from the moment that they were in. They didn't wait until they came to him. He just went to them and he called them. And they responded to that call and they walked with Jesus. And you know, when they walked with Jesus, they saw so many things. They experienced so many miracles. They heard so many sermons, so many messages that inspired and changed the lives of so many people. They saw the feeding of the 5,000. They were able to share in that. They saw people being healed. They saw people turning to Jesus. They saw Jesus being crucified, and they saw Jesus rising from the grave. Now, when I think about walking with Jesus and think about the disciples, I often go back to try to put myself into that place and think, what was it like to be able to see and to hear him doing what he was doing at that time? But you know, there's something that we've got to be careful of, and as good as it is to think about these things and reflect on these things and allow the things of Jesus and the experiences of the disciples to help us to grow, you know, we've got to be careful and not forget that when we walk with Jesus, Jesus is alive today. When we walk with Jesus and allow him to move in our lives, when we invite him into our lives, he performs those miracles in our lives. The miracle of salvation, that when we turn our lives to him and our lives become new. And he gives us more of what he wants us to be. So many thoughts there about walking with Jesus. But you know, what I just want to speak about this morning, I've just got, for those that are taking notes, I've got 5 points for you to take notes on today. And the first one is accepting the invitation. You know, when we're walking with somebody, we need to accept that invitation. It maybe sounds obvious, but if we don't accept the invitation, we ain't going on a walk with them. You know, as a family, we are going through so many great things at the moment. We've had a fantastic year where my oldest daughter got married September last year, and my youngest daughter gets married next Friday. So exciting and such a privilege to be part of that journey. But you know, even in those relationships, there was an invitation. There was a time when their husbands-to-be said to them, will you marry me? And they had to respond to that invitation. Thankfully, they said yes. And because of that, they're entering into that new journey, that new season of man and wife, as they become joined together and they enter into married life. But it started at an invitation. And you know, when we speak about invitations and we speak about walking with Jesus, we can't forget that point. For if we want to walk with Jesus, we've got to respond to that invitation. And you know, even now, I just want to share with you at the start of our service, or at the start of this part of our message. You know, often as preachers, we can, at the end of the service, we put out an appeal and we put out an invitation. If you want to take that step of faith, you can. You can enter into a relationship with the living Savior. And from that day on, you make that decision. Jesus comes into your life, the Spirit comes into your life, and you are made new. Things start to change. You're brought closer to Him, and you start to walk with Jesus. And friends, I just want to say, in the start of our service, or the start of our message today, I just want to give that invitation. You know, I don't know what challenges you've had in your life. I don't know what messages that you have heard, maybe spoken online, or people have shared with you that have impacted in some way. But I want to say to you today, how are you going to respond? You know, there's a passage in the Bible that says that all who call in the name of the Lord, they will be saved. Not maybe, not could be, they will be saved. And that's a wonderful truth that we have. When we turn to Jesus and invite Him into our lives, that is the journey that we begin. And that is when we start to take the steps of faith and following Him. So friends, I just want to challenge you just now. And I want to give you the opportunity. If you want to respond to the invitation that is in the here and now, we don't have to wait until the end of the service. We don't have to wait until the end of our time together. In the here and in the now, you can ask Jesus to come into your life. And it's as simple as praying a simple prayer. You know, after you pray that prayer, Jesus comes in and here, as I said, you start that new life, and it's a start of a journey. It's a start of following Him. So I just want to invite you, if you want to ask Jesus into your life, I just want you to invite you to pray this simple prayer that I'm going to pray. And if you join with me, today you will become a Christian. Today you will invite Jesus into your life. Can we pray together? If you want to invite Jesus into your heart just now, just pray these simple words. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I just pray that you would forgive me for all the wrong things that I have done. And I just pray in the here and now that you would come into my life, that you would give me the life that you want me to have, that you would lead me and you would help me to walk with you. For we ask it in your name. Amen. Friends, if you have said that prayer for the first time this morning, today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day when you can start that walk with Jesus. And praise God if you already have. You know, it's been so good to hear over the past few weeks of people who have put in their faith and trust in the Lord and church and Alpha courses and everything else has been going on in the life of church. It's fantastic to hear. We've heard so much about people who have not just put their faith in Jesus for the first time, they've maybe come back to Him. They've maybe reached that point when they've been walking with Jesus and at some point they took a different path. And they just know that they need to come back to their Savior once again. And you know, today that can happen with you. All that you've got to do is pray that prayer. All that you've got to do is come back to the Savior. You know, when we think about the disciples that I spoke about earlier, there's this passage in Matthew chapter 11, verses 27 to 30. It reads this, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed Him. They didn't think about it. There wasn't a committee meeting. At once they left their nets and they followed Him. Going on from there, He saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets, and Jesus called them. And immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed Him. Jesus met with them in their here and now, and their response was to follow him. That was the calling of the first disciples. And you know, if we read further in the book of Matthew, when we think more about the journey that the disciples went on, there was so much started to happen. You know, they were walking towards the same destination. They were walking with Jesus. They weren't walking in a different direction. You know, it maybe sounds obvious, but again, if you was to invite one of your friends to go out for a walk and enjoy the lovely weather that we've been experiencing this past while, and you were both to leave the house and go different directions, it's not going to be much of a walk together. You're not going to have much of a conversation. There's going to be many distractions and things that's got to happen. Whereas if you're walking together, that relationship starts to build. You begin to share what's been going on in one another's days. You begin to share what's been going on in one another's lives. You can encourage, you can rejoice, you can share in that moment of sadness and encourage that person in some way. But they were walking, you've got to walk in the same destination. You know, there's something in that that we've got to think of as well. You know, when we're walking to the same destination, and when we read about the disciples and where they walked, they purposefully went to where Jesus was. When they were in the place where Jesus was, they heard and saw many wondrous things. And they learned, they started to hear Jesus speak to others, but also to speak to them. And you know, it's the same for us. It's the same for you, and it's the same for me. When we put ourselves in front of Jesus, when we are in that place, we are walking to that same destination, we're on that path with Jesus, we begin to learn. We begin to hear. We begin to understand more of who the Savior is. Can I encourage you to be in that same place? There's a passage again in Matthew 5. It reads this, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. And what happened to the disciples? His disciples came to him." They were going to the same destination. "And he," Jesus, "began to teach them." And then it goes into that part of the scripture. It speaks about the Beatitudes, and it says, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The disciples in this moment were at the same place where Jesus was, and Jesus began to teach them. There's so much that we can learn from that. That passage, when we think about the actions of the disciples, when we apply that to our own lives, when we are in the place where Jesus is, just think of what he can do in our lives. Hey, when we are in the place where Jesus is, we're listening, we're reading God's word, and we're hearing how he can speak to us through that word. It's so important for us to do that, and that's just one of the ways that he can speak to us. It's so important for us to be on the same destination. You know, there's something else about when you go a walk. You've got to be ready to enter into a conversation. If you go a walk with someone, you know, I'm sure many of you have got the headphones that you can put in, and you can go out, if you're on the path, not on the road, if you go out on the path, you put your headphones in, you can listen to your favourite podcast or your favourite music, and hey, there's just something great about that time when you can have you time and you can have God time. You know, even in that moment when you're having that conversation between you and God, you and Jesus, you can hear him speak to you. He can speak to you through the podcast. He can speak to you through the songs that you're listening to. He can speak to you through the people that you will meet in that journey. But you know, there's something about being in that journey. If you've got your headphones in and you're walking with somebody else, it ain't going to be much of a conversation. It's going to be a distraction. There's not going to be any conversation between you and the persons beside them because you're listening to something else. And it wouldn't be the most pleasant of scenarios. When we are walking with Jesus, you know, we've to listen as much as we've got to speak. And here's the reason why. I want to share with you a passage from, again, from Matthew. And it reads this. It was a passage that was shared just a few weeks ago. But I want to read it again just to allow these words to reverberate a wee bit with us. These words are from Jesus himself. And he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." And then there's these words that I really want us to stop and think about. "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Friends, when we enter into that conversation with somebody else, when we're walking a path, you start to hear something of their heart. You start to hear them sharing something just about their personality or something that's going on. And in this moment, we're hearing in the here and now of something of Jesus' heart. When it says, "For I am gentle and I'm humble in heart." Why does he tell us that? Why does he share that with us? Why does he share that with the disciples? You know, there's probably many reasons, but there's something that we can draw from that today, and that is when we think about Jesus, who is gentle and humble in heart, he's not the judge. He's waiting for you to come to him. Think about people who are weary and burdened. The last thing that they want is somebody to judge them. Jesus is not judging. He's there with a gentle and humble heart, ready to listen to you and to reach out his hand and touch your life in a special way. Friends, there's so much within that passage, and we could spend the whole morning speaking about Jesus being gentle and humble. There is so much in there. You know, we are called, when we become Christians, to reflect Jesus in our lives. When I read those words and I look at my life and think, "Stephen, how are you gentle? How are you humble in heart? How are you reflecting Jesus in this moment?" There's so much that we can take in there. So can I ask you just to, when this service is finished this morning, take those words and think about him and remember just something more of who Jesus is. The King of glory, the Son of God who walked in this earth, telling us here, he's gentle and he's humble in heart. You know, many of us can think of Jesus and all the miracles and all the wonderful things that he has done. And yes, they're all accountable. And it's right and it's good and it's proper to remember all of these things. But it's also good for us to remember just something about the heart of Jesus. Because when we look at that heart, we can see the love of a Savior. We can see the love that took him to the cross for people like you and people like me. Because of that, when we start to walk with Jesus, we can take our burdens, we can take our weariness to him, and we can leave them before a gentle and humble Savior, who will take your worries and your weariness, and he'll take them. And you know, part of that can be a journey in itself, but it all starts with the first step. Take your weariness, take your burdens to Jesus, and he will take them to make him his own. And he'll give you just a lightness in your life that you maybe haven't experienced for a long time. It's good to have that conversation. It's good for us to be ready to enter into that conversation. But you know, there's something with conversations as well. If I was to go into a room filled with people that I didn't know, it maybe would surprise you to hear this, but I'm quite shy. I would probably be the one at the back of the room. It would be just standing waving to people or smiling to somebody and maybe waiting for somebody else to make the first move. You know, when you first meet Jesus, it's maybe a case that you're in this place of, okay, I've made this decision. I've accepted Jesus into my life, but what next? You know, that is what church is here for. That is what his living church is here for. You know, we're part of that church. When we come along, we're part of the body of that church. You know, in Apex, we've got so many things that we can do to help and support people on that journey. We've life groups, we've got alpha groups, and there's so many other things that we can do that you can come along to help us to introduce you to who Jesus is, so that you can have that better conversations with him. So that shyness that's maybe sitting there, or that I don't want to do that, I don't want to share that with Jesus, that's my problem, right? Take all of that away. Jesus is telling us in that passage to bring our weariness and our burdens to him. Friends, can I encourage you to do that today? You know, there's another thing about walking, and some of you are aware, or a few of us, earlier this year, we did the kilt walk for the young people in Apex Church. And thank you again to everybody who contributed and supported in some way. But you know, when we were on the kilt walk, it was 15 miles, and there was some of it just felt that you was never moving forward. You could have been walking 2 miles, but it felt like 20. But you know, in those moments, there were other people who were there for their own charities, for their own personal reasons that they were supporting. You know, we were all in the same path. And when you saw them, when they were getting weary, we were cheering them on, we were encouraging them on the way. And you know, more times than enough, when we were feeling tired and weary ourselves, the same ones that we'd encouraged were the ones who were coming and encouraging us to continue on that path. You know, when we walk with Jesus, he encourages us. When we walk with Jesus, he's with us every step of the way, through the good, through the bad, and through the truly awful. He's with us every step of the way. And he leads you, he guides you, he comforts, and he will lead you safely home. That is who Jesus is, gentle and humble in heart. He loves people like you and people like me, and he wants to do that journey with you today. When we think about encouraging and supporting, if we go back to that passage again, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You know, it's a passage that I read so many times because you can become so familiar with it that you almost don't see the truth that is there. You know, just a few weeks ago, I was out walking and I ended up at a place called Rattray Lighthouse. Right? I knew it was there. I was there probably when I shouldn't have been because I'd walked further than I'd planned. I was supposed to be back with the young people at night and I should not have been at the lighthouse at that point in time. But I had to phone for Jennifer to come and pick me up. We both knew about Rattray Lighthouse. We both knew where it was. But when it came to Jennifer finding me on the road to take me home, that was a different story. We were familiar with where it was at. We were familiar with what it is, for what it was. But we just could not meet one another in the same path. And you know, it's so true. In that moment that we were able to speak to one another, we was able to communicate, and just through the wonders of modern technology, was able to guide Jennifer, and she met me in the road and was able to come home to the youth that night. But you know, when we are in those moments and we can become so familiar with what's happening around about us, sometimes we can become so familiar that we don't know the way back. We just need to look to Jesus, friends. And taking that step to him is the first step to finding your way back to him. Sometimes you need to speak to a friend, you need to speak to a Christian brother or a sister and just say, look, I know that this is not right in my life. I need to take steps to get back to Jesus. Can you help me? And you know, that is what we are here to support and do. We're here not just to cheer you on from the sidelines. We're here to do the journey with you, to help you in your journey to finding and knowing more about Jesus and the plans that he has for each one of you. The last point that I want to be sharing with you today is we've got to be willing to go the distance. You know, I say that carefully, okay, and why do I say it carefully? Because we may be set out with all good intentions sometimes, and things happen, life changes, and there's things out with our control, and I'm not, please don't hear what I'm not saying there. But when we set out to do things, or maybe set out, we've maybe heard the call of Jesus in our lives. We've maybe heard that Jesus has touched our life in a special way. There's maybe been a prophecy shared with us. There's maybe been something that's been quite clear that you just think, God is all over this. I need to be doing it. But some way down the road, we take that deviation. We take a different path. And, you know, we don't get to see that fulfillment of what Jesus had in store for us. Friends, we've got to be willing to go the distance. We've got to trust in him. We've got to put our faith in Jesus. Sometimes it'll feel that he asks, I don't know which way is forward. We've got to put our faith in Jesus. So we've got to read his word. We've got to allow his spirit to speak in and through each one of us. Back to the disciples. You know, we read in the book of Acts, chapter 2. The disciples had gone through that time of walking with Jesus for those 3 years. They'd seen this incredible leader, the Son of God, who'd made such an impact in their life. They had left everything. People from different backgrounds, fishermen, tax collectors, they'd all left everything they had to follow him. And then there was that moment when he was crucified. What must it have felt like for the disciples to have been there and see the person that they were following hanging on that cross? But you just think how that sadness turned to absolute joy when they saw their Saviour risen victorious. And you know, we read just in the book of Acts that Jesus ascended into heaven. And you just think of all these emotions that were going on in the disciples' lives at the time. But you know, there was a promise. And that promise was that a counselor would come. That counselor was the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit who was in Jesus' life was the same Holy Spirit that was promised and who came and rested upon the disciples and the others who were in that upper room that evening. And we find these words from Peter. Peter stood up, the one who had had so many challenges through his journey, the one who was restored. And let's never forget that. Jesus restored him. And when he restored him, there was something happened. The same Peter stood up boldly and said these words, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord." There's a day that he's going to come back. And you know, there's this part here, this last verse. You might recognize it from something I said earlier. "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Friends, when we walk with Jesus, when we allow him to take control of our lives, when we allow his spirit to come in and fill our lives, we're walking with him. And he will take us to where he wants us to be. And everyone who calls in the name of the Lord, they will be saved.